103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
One of 3.2 Dublin City FM. It's The Sod Show. It's a new year, 2015, from all at The Sod Show. Happy New Year. Coming up on today's programme, we're talking with Amy Cooney, and we're going all about art and landscaping. Before that, I just have to tell you that it's another year, and another year The Sod Show is sponsored by greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at greensacks.ie. Check them out in the supermarket, where you can drop greensacks into your shopping trolley. On with the programme, and for the first time this year, it's over to Peter Donegan.
103.2 Dublin City FM. It is indeed The Sod Show, brought to you in association with greensacks.ie. This week I am talking with a wonderful artist by the name of Amy Cooney. You say artist. Artist. Gardens, landscaping, garden, radio show. And again, yes, it's Peter's mind possibly veering a little bit to the left. But sure, look, when was that anything different? The bit, however, where I have worked with Amy, and again, like most of the people who have ended up on The Sod Show, I have worked or know them in some format or other. I don't think that will ever be anything different, apart from maybe the people like Damien Corliss, and you need somebody who knows somebody, a la the people in Collins Press, to put you in touch with them. But that's always been the case in Ireland. The bit that Amy does, however, and that she has done for me in the past in gardens, is to take something that is two-dimensional. So if you take one-dimensional, it's grass and it's paving and it's flat, and you look from a window up above and you look down and you see something that is rolling across and it looks very nice. And then you take some plants or trees to make it even taller. And again, this is radio, so you need to close your eyes and start to picture this James and the Giant Peach all over again. If you've listened to various previous shows, you'll understand where I'm coming from on that. But that gives it a little bit of a sense of maybe two-dimensional, or raised boxes, or raised timber planters, or raised seating, or something along the lines. But when you can take a garden and you can paint the walls that are two stories tall, and you can put lengths of poetry across it that get people to crouch down in the bottom right hand corner, and people stand up on a staircase up on the second tier and look down at this grown man in a shirt and tie trying to read some etchings of poetry, crunch down on his knees, and they go, what is he doing? Well, that's what makes sometimes, I say sometimes, a garden space that little bit more interesting. What makes The Sod Show interesting is when you turn around to somebody and you say to them, well, how did you become an electrician? Why did you become an electrician? Well, my father was an electrician. Well, that's fair enough. Or I always liked electrocuting myself, maybe. And then you meet Amy and you kind of go, well, how did you end up doing wall, mural, artistic, painting-y type stuff for a living? And that's where we are about to head to today. Brian, before I get cracking on this interview, have you any news of note for me this week?
Do we have any news? I was on the radio over Christmas at Dublin City FM, and at Dublin City FM, The Sod Show has a pigeonhole, and it had Christmas cards, but they were all for Peter Donegan, so they didn't make them to Peter, but I have them, so I can pretend I've friends. Does that carry as news? Not really. What we can tell you is that lovearealtree.ie is a website from the Irish Christmas Tree Growers Association. And if you're in that situation where you did they wanted you to do and love a tree and have a real tree as opposed to an artificial tree, you'll want maybe to recycle it now, and recycling is good and it goes back to the earth. So if you go to lovearealtree.ie, they have a section on recycling and repack. Our friends at Repack are there, and they'll link you up with where to recycle that tree. It's that time when the tree is coming down, so very timely. lovearealtree.ie. Also in the news, the GLDA Seminar 2015 is coming up on the 7th of February. That's the 19th International Garden Design Seminar from the Garden and Landscapers Designers Association. More details at sodshow.com/news. Back to you, Peter.
And indeed, Amy Cooney in my company. Amy, welcome to the Sod Show. How are you?
Oh, I'm good, Peter. Thank you very much for having me in here today.
Lovely, not a problem. We've worked together on a couple of projects. Most people are well aware of them. But how did you end up getting to the point where you ended up painting walls of gardens? And you don't come in with a bucket of magnolia and paint walls. So you're not like that. It's by hand, tedious. I'd almost call it pain in the ass, like polishing pottery on ornaments on a mantelpiece. I don't mean it reminds me of that. I mean the time that it takes you to do so is mind-boggling. I mean, I think there was a day where you did four lines of poetry by hand, and I was going, four lines of poetry? I would have had that done in a week. But this isn't scribbling into a copybook. There's a myriad of questions in there. Pick anyone you like and answer at random.
Well, basically, as you said, I wouldn't the poetry writing that. There's a process beforehand. So I'd be selecting fonts and I'd do homework and sketching back at my desk in my office before I arrive on site with bucket and paintbrush in hand. And it would be tedious. It'd be freehand as well. So I don't use stencils. As someone asked me before when I was doing a wall mural in a child's bedroom of Mickey Mouse, they said, why don't you just use a projector on the wall and draw around? And I said, well, I feel that would be cheating. So I make sure I do everything that I do. It's slightly off the cuff, but then it's more unique. And any painting I do is bespoke, one-off, and it belongs to the person who commissioned me.
How, when I can only refer to me in gardens, but when you get a call and you probably hit the nail on the head, a la the off the cuff remark, but when you get that call, do you kind of think jeepers, your man's a bit weird? Or when you say to people, I have to go and do this garden for with Peter, do they think that you're also a little bit nutty and he's a little bit nutty? Do you take that nuttiness as a compliment? Do you see yourself that way? Is that actually the way it is?
I would take that as a compliment. Absolutely. Why? Because it means I'm able to think outside the box. I'm not the average Joe Soap. So if somebody wants a really good design that's never been seen before, like a wow factor that doesn't exist, I can make it exist. It's a one-off and it's been totally created out of my nutty mind. So yes, I'm proud to be nutty.
How did you end up doing this for a living? I mean, what's the behind the scenes? Where did Amy, did you doodle on walls with crayons when you were a kid? Did you get into trouble for that? Did your parents nurture that doodling on the walls in you? Did they make you go and get a job doing wall doodlings for a living? I know that's a really silly question to be asking, but where did it all start?
No, not nurtured. Mum's a nurse, dad's a farmer. So being artistically creative person, pencil in hand, wasn't something that was given to me. But my mum did support my interest. My interest from a small age was to splash paint and create. I think I turned two or three barns around my dad's farmyard into art studios at the age of seven. At one point, he was fed up looking for when he was trying to house the cattle during the winter. I had turned a byre into an art studio and I had put wall murals on the wall of the Milton Parlour. All true. So it was just there an interest that I had. I always wanted to, I suppose, splash colour on the world, and I was larger than life and definitely an extrovert as a child. So if I was slightly excitable as a kid, climbing the walls, art would have helped me focus. And that's what I did.
Did you go from the 6-7-year-old, the most colourful Milken parlours in the country are coming into my head. But did you go from that to you obviously went to college. I know that. What did you study? What did your career guidance counsellor tell you to do when you were leaving school?
Straight out of leaving cert, I was asked to go do a 1-year portfolio course to take a year out and just basically draw and paint and see where the teachers in the college think I should be veered to. So I did that. I did a 1 year portfolio course, and lecturer that was, I suppose, was my year head, veered me towards spatial design. I hadn't really heard of it before myself, but she said that it's basically like it's a twist on architecture, but it's more interiors, furniture design, spatial design. It's where you're logically space planning. So I embarked on a diploma in that, and in that I did CAD technician. And she's seen it in me where I didn't, wasn't aware I had it myself, which was logic. I would naturally be able to work out a square meterage of a place by just looking at it. And I know what should go where and what would function. So straight away, I know how to make something. I'm a sort of a natural problem solver when it comes to functional spaces. And I like to be able to manipulate how people move through spaces as well. So a planter in the middle of a room, people have to walk around it. So I found it fascinating, and I really did find my niche there. So from there, I progressed over to the UK. I did a BA, Bachelor of Arts in Interior Architecture and Design in the University of Wolverhampton. And so I stayed there for a while and then straight back to Galway. And I flew from Birmingham to Galway, and I started work for an architect's office, project management, based in Clarenbridge. And that's where I suppose I would have, I was there for maybe 3.5-4 years. And it was all basically 3D visuals, space planning. Ireland was in the middle of a boom. There was commercial premises being revamped and new build show houses every second week. So I've never seen, my diary was jam-packed and was full on. And it was great that I was just out of college and straight into the deep end. So fortunately, the recession came, the company I worked for closed its doors, and I reverted back to my raw skills being I picked up a paintbrush again. And with paintbrush in hand, I looked around and suppose back to basics and painting the walls around me.
I'm kind of reminded of two things, and one of them is Katrina Holsom IE on Twitter, who told me previous that she would have maybe had a similar but very, very different tale. But, you know, I've also spoke to people who were involved in very large industrial type landscaping, and all of a sudden they got back and started to do up their own garden. People who worked 24/7 around the clock, who you know, got caught up in the boom. I can't stand the word, and I hate the R word as well, but they got caught up in that, and all of a sudden the allotment kind of craze took over. People became a little bit more homely about things. They started to see the truer values. And is there an element of that in what happened to you? Was it for the better without you even knowing? Was it for the better, but it was given upon to you? That sounds mildly religious in how I say it, but you get what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely, you've hit the nail on the head there. I wasn't aware of it at the time, but I came out of college and I probably could have done with a more of a relaxed interval from college to working life, but I didn't. As I said, I was thrown in the deep end. And it wasn't until I came out of that madness that I realised that I had been lacking community because I was working so much. And I've a cousin that because I moved back home as well when the company I worked for closed, I got to know better, and she worked with a volunteer centre, and she mentioned to me about being able to give when you have time on your hands and how that can lead to one thing to another. So I started working in my community, I started teaching. So I realised I had developed skills and I had something that I could share, and that's what I decided to do. So I started teaching art classes for children and working in my community and helping people out and seeing, right, where can my skills help others? And I suppose I did some painting in the community hall in my local village. I set up, I do children's workshops, seasonal workshops where we do creative crafts and art. I sent some of the children's work into the Texco Children's Art Competition last year, and we came out with a winner. So that was great. We had a certificate from them last year. All's good and better. Definitely better.
On the note of the Texaco Children's Art Competition, it just so happens by coincidence, I have family across in Portmarnock, and I stopped in at the petrol station and bought an art calendar this year, and I hope that I am correct in this. Somebody check this out for me and let me know at Sodshow on Twitter. But there was not one piece of art from Dublin this year, of that I am aware. There was not. Now, again, correct me if I'm wrong, at Sodshow on Twitter, let me know, but there wasn't one piece of art. So to get one from Ballybohol, which is, funnily enough, Amy's hometown, she omitted to say that. I'm saying it just in case, but there's no big secret there. But it's phenomenal to get something from Ballybohol end up within the one of 12 pieces of art chosen. Well done. One of the projects that we did work on, I don't want to mention this for the sake of my own words, how'd you say it, pulling out the violin, but it aired around Christmas time, Stevens's Day 2013, Boxing Day if you're across the pond. And it was a charity built garden with the Brennan brothers. I might throw a link up to that or the video for that so you can see the artwork solely that Amy did. But it's one that we would all maybe know that a little bit better, apart from a private garden for which you can never see or may never get to see that Amy has worked on with me. What was that beforehand? What was it afterwards? Can you describe what you did so that people get a gist of a real life living garden? And I double underline that, you know, take the violin out of this one, but it's purely for the sake of giving people a garden maybe to relate Amy's skills outdoors in a garden to.
The Casa project, we, I suppose you brought me on board with that project. You had been contacted and asked to help out. So I went over to site, and it was your standard back garden, but it was also bland. There was nothing really to it. Set of swings in the corner and needed a lot of maintenance. But it was surrounded on three sides by grey concrete blocks, walls high, and it looked slightly like a prison. So I suppose you had mentioned, let's brighten it up, freshen it up. And the members of Casa had a poem that they had wrote, and we wanted to incorporate that somewhere in the garden, and no better place than the walls. They basically were canvases. They were blank canvases. So that's where we decided to paint and write the poetry around, wrap it around the walls of the garden. Selecting the right type of font was also something that we had to make sure it was right. It couldn't be too swirly. It needed to be legible. Also the size of it, font size. So I did that, and then also I read the poem and make sure to pull out little imagery that would coincide with each line of it. And then there were some areas where there wasn't planting, and I put in funky red mushrooms in one corner, and then in another corner a nice butterfly, a sunshine breaking out from behind one side. And then we put some porcelain apples, which were bird feeders. They hung on the trees, so they looked fantastic, but I tied them in with a wall mural of red and green apples underneath the poetry as well. So make sure that everything knitted in well together, and we used art to do that.
What's it like, and you can, I don't know how bold or brash you can be with me sitting directly in front of you, but what's it like working with, and you have to, for those of you listening at home, you kind of have to take Peter out of this equation, but again, I'm the only garden person that I know that Amy has worked with in order to be able to ask this question. If it wasn't, I'd be able to say, well, what was it like working with Mary when you did that project? But Mary's not here. I'm the only one here. What's it like when you work with somebody, in brackets, Peter, on a garden when I've got quite strict, not strict, but I've got a picture in my head, and you would obviously, and I notice you would have had your own picture in your own head of what it would be, and the end equation, the end result, we both want that to be excellent, amazing, super duper. Put it into a calculator, press the square root button, work backwards to where we are, and all of a sudden you have two people standing in a garden saying two different things. And you mentioned font, size of text, style of writing, the way it's all pieced together, the mural bits on the walls. There were pieces that surrounded an oil tank that you had done. I know in various other projects that we've worked on, there are bits that I've made you change, which there was nothing wrong with the art pieces that you had done. There was nothing wrong with them at all. It's just my head and my end result may be mildly, understandably, a little bit different to you. Do you want to, does the mini you, the drop dead Fred, the Rick Mayall in you want to jump out, grab me in the headlock and beat me around the garden with a very invisible stick? Or is it a case of, well, it's work and it's, as I said, two different minds working for the end same goal?
Okay. Right. Every design is a process. I know. So you start the basics and you do your concept sketches. And, you know, I've shown them to you and you've maybe dismissed them the odd time. But I've, in the way that I've learned to listen. You know, you've you'd be the designer and you would verbally explain what's going on in your head. But as you walk by me, you know, I envision this and I get a verbal description of how you would like the garden space to feel. So I need to help you create a feeling in that space. So I've learned to listen and be very careful. The logical side of me would love a floor plan and a very clear 3D visual, to like a jigsaw piece that I could put back together easily. But then that's not, that's too easy. I sort of like how you would sort of, you know, throw the question back at me when I'd say, is this right? You'd say, well, do you think it's right? You're the artist here. So it's good because it makes me double question myself again, which means the end result is even better than the first one. So as you said, scratching something out and redoing it, every time you redo it, it's a little bit better. So it is a process. I've learned to bite my lip and tongue some mornings, but good for the greater good, you know. The end result is always, it's good, like fantastic. The Casa project worked out really, really well. Another project I worked on with you as well, there was artwork needed and bits had to be taken away and put back in a different way, but all works out for the good in the end. The artwork's always fantastic and the garden always looks great. So, you know, there's a process working and it works.
Do you find it better sometimes when, I say designers, people who, let me backtrack on this. For those listening at home, one can be told as a garden maker, creator, whatever you wish to call it, and equally in Amy's field of work, boom, joke there, you know, please draw this on the wall, please tender for the pricing of the painting on the wall. You price for the equation, you do the equation, and the equation is built. And thanks for, and equally sometimes you can be, maybe as you suggested that I do. Again, I've never really analysed how I work with other people. But do you find the bit where maybe where I turn around to you and say, this is how I would like it to feel, so I don't give you a set of instructions, so to speak. I describe to you a picture in my head, and from that you're allowed to develop it or to not develop it.
What works better for me personally would be, as you said, you allowing me to build and develop on your initial vision. That's always going to work, because then I get to put my own personal twist on it. So instead of just getting a Peter design solely or getting an Amy design as it is, you're actually getting a blend and a mix, which is going to be better than one. When two different designers and two different creative people collide their ideas together, you are going to get an explosion. So personally, I like the process that works at the moment with mixing my skills and your garden designs together. I think that works for the end result. It also works better because it, as you said, if I was given a set of instructions, it can't be developed upon. It is what it is.
Do you find there's a bit where it really does change the landscape? Do you find there's a bit where grown-ups become children? Do you find grown people become kiddies a little bit inside? That James inside the giant peach in one's grown-up head all of a sudden starts to evolve as a big kid all over again. Is that for the better? Is it a good thing? Is it partly because of what you do? And does it need to wrap in with the entire or the overall landscape?
I think it's a good idea to bring in art into what would be an outdoor garden space. Absolutely. Because like interior design, you can put in your sofa and your new carpet, but it's a bland space unless you're going to put your artwork up on the wall or put your family photos and frames on the mantelpiece. I feel the same about garden design. You can put in your plants and your lovely timber bench to sit on, but if you don't put some sort of fun, quirky little element somewhere, a focal point to spark up conversation, it's another garden. So I would feel strongly that you do need to put in creative swirls and art, sculpture, wall murals, some element of spark into a garden, definitely.
You've got a couple of oddball projects on the horizon that are not painting, but they are within garden centres. Do you want to tell me a little bit about them? How did you end up in gardens? I know one of them is Jones's, who we've also had on the sideshow before, Carl.
That's right, yes. I mentioned before that I curved my skills to teaching. So I would have done Montessori teaching. I went back to college and upskilled for a while and did childcare, and with that did teaching, a diploma in teaching. So we teach art, myself and a crew of three or four girls that come with me, and we do creative workshops for children, national school age, between 4 and 12 year olds. We do them seasonally, so we do like a summer workshop, we do Halloween, Christmas one was where we had it in Jones's Garden Centre. Carr was very good there. He gave us an area of the garden centre cordoned off for a weekend just coming up to Christmas, and we were there each morning, Saturday and Sunday. And when Santa also arrived, as we were there, we were doing Christmas crafts, making reindeers, snowflakes, scented oranges. But the setting of a garden centre for children to come into and do a creative workshop like that, I think it's a great backdrop. It really is, because as they walk through the doors, Carl and his staff had the garden centre alive with Christmas decorations. There was a Christmas shop there, the Christmas trees and lights everywhere, and as the children walked through that, there was a magical atmosphere evoked straight away, and then they made their way to our workshop, and it was perfect backdrop. So like that, I have a feeling that because children like to be outside in gardens, running around, burning off their energy, what better place to set children's workshops and creative camps but in garden centres?
Children and plants, folks. And you wonder where it all comes back to. Grown men becoming children. I have witnessed it in a garden, and you've had some of the descriptions over the last half hour of the show. And then you find that children in garden centres, it's what the Institute of Horticulture, it's what the Royal Horticultural Society are all after. It seems to be the buzzword. It's what Monty Don's, it's what the Alan Titchmarshes are trying to encourage in this world. And sometimes you just need to look at it a little bit differently. Amy Cooney's website is amycooney.ie. That's amycooney.ie. She's also on Twitter and Facebook, and I will have all of the links for Amy up on this week's show notes on sodshow.com. In the meantime, Amy, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure to see you again.
That's no problem, Peter. Thank you very much for having me in today.
And Brian, it is back to you in the studio. Why do I get to meet all the good-looking girls, Brian? Why? You should come out with that rambling microphone of yours and that. Is it that Marantz? Dust it. Blow the dust off it, Brian. Blow the dust off it. I shall talk to you next Friday, folks. Take care from me. Bye-bye.
You get all the interviews, Peter, because I get all the stolen Christmas cards. Thanks to Amy Cooney, Peter Donegan, holding the microphone outdoors as always. 103.2 Dublin City FM, your special interest radio station for the Greater Dublin area. We're the Sod Show. We're here every Friday between 3 and 3.30. If you'd like to feature on the Sod Show, you can get in touch with us at Sod Show on Twitter, this Sod Show on Facebook, sodshow.com, and sodshow.com/news for all the blog type stuff. All the ways to contact us are there. And maybe you've got a story, maybe you're doing something in the great outdoors, in landscaping, in gardening, maybe it's gardening indoors, maybe it's city gardening. Whatever you're doing, we want to know about it and get in touch, and we'd love to feature you on the program. We're here, it's a new year, and we're looking for people to talk to. So get in touch. We'd like to say thanks to our sponsors, greensax.ie, compostable bags for home, and for garden. Check them out on the internet at www.greensax.ie. Check them out in the supermarket where you can drop Greensax into your trolley, ideal for use with your brown bin because it's all compostable. Until next week, do take care. If you want to hear an extended interview of today's Sod Show, go over to sodshow.com. Until next Friday at 3, from Peter and Katrina Redmond, who does the blog, and from myself, Brian Green, do take care. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.